Welcome to Buy Sci-Fi Bite-Sized Finance. I'm Kelly Brothers. I'll be your host, serving up some of the most succulent stories from our region about people, places, and things that impact our community and your financial well-being. I'm sure there will even be a few tasty surprises here and there when the recipe is right. Our goal is to have you learn, think, even laugh a little bit, all calorie-free. I know you'll enjoy what we're delivering right to your kitchen table or dining room or, sir, will you be eating in your car? Wherever you choose to listen. Kelly Brothers here. Bite-Sized Finance is the name of the podcast. You can find it on any platform where you find your favorite podcast, or you can find it on KFBK every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. This is our chance to talk with people about their businesses, their professions, their journeys, whatever they want to talk about. Interesting people who are helping form Sacramento and Northern California. And today we got a great one. Rob Turner, who along with his beautiful wife came to town, not that long ago, and started a magazine. Who starts a magazine these days and is thriving right now? The magazine is Sactown. The publisher is Rob Turner. Rob, great to have you on.
Thank you so much, Kelly. Great to be here.
All right, Rob. So you I know you grew up in Sacramento. I know I believe you met your wife in New York City. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, So my wife, Alyssa Lee, and I started the magazine together, and we met in New York. I was born and raised here, and had an interest in magazines from early on, and eventually found my way to New York because that's where all the magazines are, of course. And one thing led to another, and I ended up at Money Magazine, which turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to me, because I did not know that I would meet, the future love of my life, Alyssa, and who would also end up being my partner in crime starting the City Magazine in my hometown. So, yeah, it was very serendipitous.
So, Rob, what were you doing at Money Magazine? What were you writing articles? What were you doing there?
Yeah, I was a reporter there. I can jump back a few steps. So, after I finished school at UC Davis, my first job was at the Sacramento News and Review, which was brand new then in the early 90s. And I became the music writer and the arts writer. Loved it, but weeklies pay very little, and it's a great launching pad for young people, and it was a great launching pad for me. But I had had a passion for magazines for a long time. I grew up reading Esquire and just a lot of the great magazines, and wanted to somehow find my way to New York. And when I was still at UC Davis, I saw a listing for an internship at Harper's Magazine in New York, the oldest magazine in America. But it was an unpaid internship, full-time in Manhattan. I was a college student. It wasn't going to happen. I ended up at the News and Review, and then in my mid to late 20s, it'll sound strange, the best thing that ever happened to me was I was in a car accident at 11th and J, I think it was, 11th or 12th and J, and a guy ran a red light, we collided, shattered my right wrist. I thought it was the worst thing to ever happen to me, but I got a $40,000 insurance settlement in my 20s, and I thought, I'm going to apply for that unpaid internship in New York.
Oh, man.
And so, fortunately, I got it. Moved to New York. I was an old intern. Although this is kind of an interesting story. I was 28 years old applying for this internship, and I thought there's no way they're going to take me. Interns are in college, early 20s. I was 28, but the guy I was interviewing with, Jim Nelson, said, I was acknowledging the elephant in the room that I was a 28-year-old intern applying for an internship at 28. He told me he did the Harper's internship when he was 30 years old. He became a senior editor at Harper's. He was the guy interviewing me. He eventually went on to become the editor-in-chief of GQ for about 20 years after Harper's. So if anybody thinks it's too late to do an internship at age 28 or 30, it's not. If you want to start over and you want to learn. And so that's how I got to New York. And I assumed it would be an internship that I would do for 5 months, turn around, and come back to Sacramento. But somebody at Harper's introduced me to somebody at Smart Money magazine, which was a brand new magazine the Wall Street Journal had just launched as a competitor to Money magazine. So I was there for a few years. One of the top editors at Money at Smart Money left for Money and recruited several of us at Money, and I was one of them. So that's how I ended up there as a writer and reporter, full-time reporting on, you know, consumer personal finance.
So you never would have gone to New York if not for the car accident. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying probably not. I mean, you know, I was in my 20s, making very little money.
Sure. New York was an expensive place to live.
It was a very expensive place to live. This was an unpaid internship. So, yeah, this car accident turned out to be the best thing because it got me to New York, which was my dream, to work in national magazines, which was another dream. And then, unbeknownst to me, would lead me to, you know, my partner in life, Alyssa, who we've been to, we're actually celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary in a little over a month. And
congratulations.
What's that?
Go ahead. What was she doing at the magazine at the time?
So she was also a reporter at the magazine.
Okay.
So a little bit of the difference between Alyssa and I, my first job was at the Sacramento News Review out of college. Alyssa's first job out of college was Money Magazine. You can tell which one of us is the smarter of the two. You know, I started down here at the bottom where most people start. She started at one of the biggest magazines in the country. And she was there for a few years. We worked together. That's where we met. But she really wanted to move to another magazine within Time Inc. in the same building, which was In Style. And In Style, which doesn't exist anymore in print, it's now online only, was, you know, the premier women's magazine. I mean, it's Vogue and In Style. And Alyssa got a job at In Style, and she just loved it. That was kind of her dream job at the time. She was on staff there for 5 years, interviewing every celebrity on the planet, covering Fashion Week, covering the MTV Awards, Tony Awards, you name it. And she was loving it, and it was great. And I left Money to become a full-time freelance writer, so which was kind of my dream. And so I could write for lots of publications. So I started writing for the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, New York Magazine. But for me, I always kind of had an eye on Sacramento. I never, you know, my plan was to go back there for a little bit and then move back to my hometown and start a magazine. But one opportunity led to the next, and I fell in love. And so I ended up staying in New York for about a decade. And then once Alyssa kind of got her fill of In Style, she asked me if I still wanted to move back to my hometown and start a city magazine. And that's what we did.
So let me ask you about freelancing.
Yeah.
Is that because, you know, I hear that term often, but if you're a freelance writer in New York, are you pitching your skills to the New York Times? They say, hey, could you go out and write an article on this? Or are you saying, I have this great article, do you want to buy it? Who sources the story, I guess, is the question.
You know, it works both ways. I think what helped me a lot be a freelancer was the fact that I already had about 4 or 5 years as a staff writer at Money and Smart Money magazines. So they already knew that I knew how to write for national publications. So I started out by pitching. Like my first freelance article was actually for the New York Times Magazine. I pitched them an idea. They immediately said they liked it. I wrote it. I pitched another one. They liked it. Then after a while, they started calling me and saying, hey, do you want to do a story on this?
So, gotcha.
You know, it was really a combination. I was a freelancer for 5 or 6 years. It was a combination of me pitching ideas, developing relationships. Once I kind of built the editor's trust that I knew what I was doing, they would contact me and ask me if I wanted to write stories. So, yeah.
Man, okay. So you're doing that. Alyssa's at In Style. She knows that Rob's dream is to open up a city magazine in her hometown. First of all, where is Alyssa from originally?
So Alyssa was born in Seoul, South Korea, and moved here when she was very young. She was 7 years old, and, you know, Alyssa, and she went to school in Boston. So Alyssa had really only lived in Seoul, Boston, briefly London, and New York. And she met a boy from Sacramento.
We're going to move to Sacramento.
So I'm like, I've got this proposition for you. Leave InStyle magazine, owned by the world's largest, you know, media company. I mean, Time Inc. was owned by Time Warner and was a behemoth. You know, in our building, it was money in style, Sports Illustrated, People, Fortune, you know, at the time, Martha Stewart, Entertainment Weekly, go down the list. We were at the biggest magazine company in the world. So, yes. So my pitch was, I was born and raised in Sacramento. I love magazines. It's always been my dream to start a city magazine in my hometown. And, you know, I think she needed to fulfill her dream of being at InStyle, which she did for 5 years and then for 3 years as a freelancer after that. And then I convinced her to leave New York City, leave InStyle, and move here with me to Sacramento and start our adventure here.
Man, that I'm sure there were elements of Green Acres in that one. I mean, but Alyssa made it to Sacramento, and now she's, oh man, how many years have you been here now, Rob?
So let's see, we moved back here from New York in 2004, and we launched Sactown in 2006.
So and 20 years back.
I'm glad you bring that up because it gives me a chance to tell you that we launched the magazine at the worst time possible. So we launched in December 06. And Kelly,
hey, hold that thought. We have to take a break, and then we're going to do the launch of Sactown Magazine at the very worst time possible. But by this time, at least Rob's wrist had healed. So that was good. We're at war with Rob Turner of Sactown Magazine. You're listening to Bite Size Finance.
Hello, this is Will Gabry, and I am an advisor with CapTrust here in the Sacramento area. I'm a busy father of four, and life comes at us fast. As my 20th year of advising clients begin, I want to take a moment and reflect on why I'm thankful to have chosen this profession. Quite simply, I get to help people. I work with clients on wealth management, income, and taxes, to name a few. But even more importantly, I get to be part of great relationships. People often interact with an advisor during life events, and I've been with clients through difficulties and joyous times. Conversations, connections, and trust built mean more to me than anything else. Working at a nationwide firm like CapTrust gives me a team of professionals to assist in all aspects of financial advising. Being part of our local office means great care and service to our clients. If you would like to start a discussion and see how we can partner with you, you can find me at CapTrust.com. Look for Will Gabry, G-A-B-R-I. Thank you.
Do you have a financial plan for your pets? Protecting your loved ones, both two- and four-legged, is important, and the Sacramento SPCA can help. Join us for a complimentary estate planning seminar and learn how you can provide for your family and your pets while also creating a lifeline for animals in need. Visit sspca.org/estate to view seminar dates and secure your spot for one of our upcoming virtual sessions. That's sspca.org/estate.
Hello, this is Scott Thomas with CapTrust in our Sacramento office. I specialize in working with local nonprofits and associations. Annually, we survey private and public nonprofit organizations across the country to better understand challenges they see in today's environment. In our more recent survey, we heard concerns about proper board governance, mission-aligned investment, and how to implement alternative investments. If you would like a copy of the survey or to discuss your organization, look me up, scottthomas@captrust.com.
Back again on Bite Size Finance every Sunday, 3 o'clock on KFBK or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And if you have an idea, someone to talk to, a suggestion, a comment, a criticism, feel free to drop it at buysifipodcast@gmail.com. Buysifi, B-I-S-I-F-I, podcast@gmail. We are speaking with Rob Turner, who was just about to tell us about the launch. Now, to bring you back, he and Alyssa, he has somehow convinced this very cosmopolitan wife of his who has to move to Sacramento and start a city magazine. Let's go back from there, Rob. What was the genesis of your desire to start a city magazine in Sacramento?
I can tell you that, you know, I think like a lot of people who grew up in Sacramento, you know, I was in high school in the 80s, and I think it was a time where a lot of people, at least in my circle, were kind of down on Sacramento. They thought Sacramento was not the most exciting city in the world. And they thought, oh, I can't wait to move to New York, LA, San Francisco, someplace exciting. So I think I kind of had this overdeveloped sense of civic pride where I always kind of felt the need to, you know, at that time I was defending Sacramento. Now, Sacramento's grown a lot since then and doesn't really need defending anymore. But, you know, Sacramento was a much smaller city back in the 80s. And I really felt like people weren't seeing the Sacramento that I was seeing. And the way that I got really the magazine bug was in college, my senior year at UC Davis. I don't know if you remember, Tower Records used to publish a magazine in-house called Pulse Magazine, which was kind of their version of Rolling Stone Magazine. It was free in all the Tower Records, in America. So it was very similar to Rolling Stone. It was based in their West Sacramento offices headquarters. So I got an internship at Pulse. I was actually their first internship. I called, said, I'd like to apply for your internship program. And they said, our internship program, sure. They didn't tell me. They never had an intern before.
So you're offering to volunteer.
Yeah, sure, exactly. So I went in for the interview, you know, and I got the internship. Obviously, there was no one else applying. So unlike the Harper's internship, which was a very competitive internship, this one had one person applying. So I had a little bit of an advantage. But that's really where I think I got the magazine bug at first. Was it was incredibly exciting to me to be at what was really a national magazine, but, you know, across the river in West Sacramento.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. And so, you know, I kind of, it was then that I started thinking, how can I combine my love of the city with my love of magazines? And I thought, well, a magazine is a great way to get people excited about your city. You can tell stories about the people in the city, you know, have great photography and design and illustration. And maybe that's a way to get people really excited about Sacramento. So that idea happened when I was like 21, 22 years old. It took me, you know, until my late 30s to actually make it happen.
Rob, do you think, you know, given your feelings at the time, do you think Sacramento is over its inferiority complex yet? And I understand it completely, yeah, because I had the same feeling as a young person, but, you know, and it's not easy to see how that develops when your older brothers and sisters are LA, San Francisco, San Diego, even San Jose, the heart of Silicon Valley. You know, I can see how it, on a relative scale, one feels that inferiority. But do you think we're over that?
You know, I don't know if we're completely over it, but I don't think that most cities in America are. I mean, you know, as I mentioned, I lived in Manhattan for almost a decade, and there was always a lot of talk about how Boston, one of the greatest cities in the world, had, you know, New York envy, felt an inferiority complex compared to New York. And I think the same was true of, you know, cities like Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. And, you know, unless you're New York, you know, you're often envious of someplace else. And so, yeah. So, you know, I don't know that we'll ever be completely over it, but I sense so much more civic pride now than I did growing up here.
Oh, good.
I mean, it's real. I just really feel it's palpable. I see it all the time. And, you know, I see it more and more, I feel like, every year. So, which is great because people have, obviously, there's justification for that pride.
That, no, there is. So you come back in 04 and you start the magazine at what you described as exactly the worst time to start a magazine. Why is that?
So it was December 06, Kelly. And as I was starting to say, you're a money guy, so you probably remember what happened in 07, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's funny because I was just rewatching the movie The Big Short, and unbelievable movie. And I think it was in mid-January 07 when the first, you know, mortgage delinquencies were really starting to hit the headlines in a big way. So this was about 6 weeks after we launched. So our first magazine, you know, it was a boom time. almost everybody we approached for advertising was saying yes, which was fantastic. We had lots of housing advertising for new housing developments in 06. And then the first thing we noticed is that all the housing advertisers started pulling out in early 07. And we're like, okay, well, you know, the rest of the economy is still doing pretty well. And then 08 came along about a year, you know, into our existence. And, you know, I remember the recession started and my Alyssa likes to remind me when I was in New York and I was talking about some of the pros of Sacramento as I said, you know, Sacramento is a government town. It's, you know, it's kind of a recession-proof town because, you know, it's a capital of California. So really, you don't really have to worry about recessions in Sacramento too much, not as much as other places. Well, I was wrong. And I remember, you know, I remember I was in my 30s and this recession was taking hold. I remember Googling, you know, what's the length of the average recession? I can't remember. I think it was like 9 months or something. I was like, okay, we have to buckle down for a little while. Few issues. Obviously, it turned into the Great Recession.
Yeah. That,
you know, went on for years. And it actually turned out to be, surprisingly, I mean, I guess this is kind of a recurring theme, turned out to be a great thing for us. So on the surface, it seems like a terrible thing. But we had to learn very early on after we launched to be lean and mean. I think at the beginning, we thought we need, you know, our whole background was in national magazines. So we were trying to do things. We're kind of thinking like national magazine folks, thinking we needed all these, you know, monthly retainers for consultants. And we needed, you know, we needed to spend money on all these things we really didn't need to be spending money on.
Right, right.
So very early on, I think in our DNA in the first year, we learned to cut back and to really watch every dollar much more closely, which I don't think we were doing from day one. But I think we learned that lesson in year one, which would benefit us, I think, in the long run.
Oh, absolutely. So, and before we go further down that line, tell me real quick, what was it like when you and Alyssa, you know, finished that first magazine, when you put that to bed and it was done and it was going, there must have been a tremendous feeling of accomplishment.
You know, I actually remember that moment very clearly. It was probably 3 a.m., I'm guessing. We were putting in ridiculous hours. To say that we were working 100 hours a week is honestly no exaggeration, at least in the final weeks up to the deadline. So for those who don't know, we're a bi-monthly magazine. So we come out every 2 months, six times a year. And that's advice we were given by a lot of people who said, start as a bi-monthly for the first year or two to get your feet under you, then become a monthly. Well, of course, you know, 2 years in was the Great Recession. We would have had
to double every 3 months. No,
I think that may have been discussed, but
hey, Rob, we got to take a break, but okay. When we come back, we're going to talk more about that first, the launch and the growth and the competition with a magazine that no longer exists. We'll talk about all of that. Rob Turner of Sacktown Magazine is our guest on Bite Sized Finance.
Hello, this is Marcel Plumpto with CapTrust in our Roseville office. I specialize in providing retirement plan advisory services to corporate fiduciaries. While we focus on many areas such as investment management and vendor oversight, it's our dedication to working closely with participants that drives my passion for the industry. Without a high level of engagement between advisors and participants, even well-designed retirement plans can fall short of their objectives. Should you have any questions on your retirement plan, please reach out. Marcel Plumpto at CapTrust.com.
Kelly Brothers here for CapTrust. We are fiduciaries. That's an interesting word. What does that mean? That means that legally we are obligated to put your best interests over our own. Non-fiduciaries don't have that same legal situation. They can sell you something as long as it's suitable, but they don't have to put you in the best thing for you over their best interest. In other words, they can't just sell you a nice annuity with a big fat commission for themselves, even if it's not the best thing for you. We are fiduciaries. We are proud to be fiduciaries. And let me say something too about price. I am always shocked by the fact that there are people who I know will scour the internet for the cheapest flight or the cheapest ticket to a ball game, but they have no idea what they are paying for their advisor. We tell you up front in black and white, here's what you're paying for what you're getting. Cap Trust, here in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. Kelly Brothers back, Bite Size Finance, every Sunday, 3 o'clock, KFBK, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to reach out with an idea, with a thought, with a suggestion, with a critique, you are welcome to do so at buysifipodcast@gmail.com. Buysifi, B-I-S-I-F-I, podcast@gmail.com. Our guest today, Rob Turner, founder, publisher, along with his wife, Alyssa Lee, of Sacktown Magazine. And when we left off last, Rob was telling us about putting that first issue to bed and the 100-hour weeks that led up to it. But it was your baby, right? I mean, there had to be a feeling of, all right, we're in the game, right?
You know, I think there were two feelings that kind of hit us almost simultaneously. It was, you know, we'd been working toward it for so long. We'd really been prepping for it for years in terms of the business plan, in terms of what was going to be in the first issue. I think there was immediately a great sense of relief and like, wow, we did it. And, you know, almost immediately when the magazine came out, we really got an amazing response to it. I mean, the feedback that we were getting from people, as I think I shared with you before, Kelly, you know, KCRA did a great piece on us. They interviewed people. One of the local bookstores said that we were the top selling magazine in the store. I think there was a lot of curiosity about what we were, and we were just getting incredibly strong feedback, which was amazing. At the same time, I think we were so exhausted that we thought, "Oh God, we have to make a second one now," you know, because the first one took us a lot longer than 2 months because we're coming up with the basic structure of the magazine and sections that we're going to continue on. So the first issue, I would guess, took us 6 months, and so we then had about 8 weeks to come up with the second issue. Wow. And because we were so busy planning the first issue, we had zero ideas for issue number two. So I think we were also terrified. But yeah, the early days were tough. I mean, Alyssa and I would, we had mattresses in the offices. We would sleep in the office some nights. We would just not go home on deadline. And yeah.
So Rob, what was kind of your overall vision for the magazine? You were, I mean, going back to that year, you know, 06, 07, you know, you have the Sacramento Bee was still a full newspaper. It's a shell of what it was then. Now, you know, Sacramento Magazine was still going strong. It no longer exists. You had the Sac News and Review, which was going strong.
Yeah.
It no longer exists. What was your, where were you going to fit in that crowded newsstand? What was going to be your niche?
You know, I don't know. It sounds a little strange. I don't know that. I think really what it was that, as I mentioned before, I kind of had this overdeveloped sense of civic pride in my hometown. I thought there were so many stories to tell growing up here, and I was anxious to tell them. And I loved magazines, and I fortunately met Alyssa, who was also equally passionate about magazines. And the idea of combining, you know, covering our city. And I think what made us a little bit different is that we had spent 10 years working with national magazines. So we thought, okay, we're going to approach a city magazine in the same way we approached a national magazine, you know, on a much smaller budget. We're going to try to do things at a level that, you know, we were able to in New York. So, you know, a small example of that is fact-checking. Fact-checking has been incredibly important to us from day one. Most publications these days, especially newspapers, don't have time to fact-check. For us, actually, Alyssa and I both started as fact-checkers early in our career, which is making sure that everything in the articles is 100% accurate. It's incredibly important. It's time-consuming. It's expensive. But that was one example. We were very fortunate to meet a handful of writers and photographers and designers who were just incredibly talented. And so it took time to kind of find those people. I mean, our senior photographer, Max Whitaker, I mean, he's a freelancer. We've never had a staff photographer. Max has been shooting for us from our very first issue, and he shoots regularly for the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine, I mean, you name it, the biggest magazines and newspapers in America to this day. He shoots for the New York Times regularly and the New York Times Magazine. And he lives here in Sacramento in the region, and he's just phenomenal. And so I think that our vision was, let's get people excited about Sacramento. And let's try and do it using words and pictures and illustration and design to kind of just get people excited for what the city was becoming. I think we hit the city at a good time when it was really coming into its own. So I think what part of the proposition that we were bringing to this, we'd spent a decade in New York working in national magazines, and we really wanted to try and bring that to the degree that we could, that level of quality in terms of photography, in terms of design, in terms of writing. And we are fortunate just to meet a great group of contributors and photographers and freelancers who could really help us make that happen.
But and you did, and but I don't want to underplay your role or Alyssa's role, Rob, because some of your articles, some of your editorials, some of your ideas, I mean, they were breaking new ground. That is not what local magazines had done before around town. I got to tell you, it was so refreshing to read some of that. It was opinion, but all positive, all constructive, all here's how we get better. And it was great to read, I must tell you.
Well, thanks. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the ways that we wanted to differentiate ourselves that I'd forgotten about, is that we did want to present the community with ideas and things to think about and starting conversations. And so we never wanted to criticize something or complain about something without having ideas or solutions from other cities. And so we started doing essays with, as you said, you know, strong opinions about arts, politics, just development, transportation. You know, on the back page, we've had a page for all 105 issues called Why Not Here, about ideas from other cities that we love that we think would help elevate Sacramento. And a lot of those over the years have actually come true. And so, because people have read.
A lot of your ideas have come through. And, I'm not sure if everyone knows it, but the fact that they came from your magazine, that's a feather in your cap. I got to ask you, Rob, so 20 years in, what is Alyssa's best and worst part about living in Sacramento, would you say?
Wow. That is a tough one. I wish she was here to answer that for herself.
Okay. If you want to defer to her, that's fine.
I might
fine
defer
too.
To her. I mean, you know, I'm okay. Very fortunate that she has also, you know, grown to love Sacramento, having only visited a few times before moving here. But she really knows Sacramento, honestly, as well as I do now. And there's no way I could have picked not just a better wife, a better partner for this. She's an amazing editor. She's a far better editor than I am. She's an amazing writer. She does so much with the magazine that it's just
incredible. My God, you guys do it all. Yeah. You guys, this was your a germ of an idea that you turned into reality, Rob. So we're running out of time, but I want to hit two other things. Yeah. Number one, tell me in a minute, the effect of COVID on you and all publications.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it hit all businesses very hard. You know, restaurants, you know, were one of the most visible ones, but you know, we lost several publications permanently in the month of March, the first month of the pandemic. The News and Review, I think within 30 days, laid off all 40 something members of the staff and closed because they relied on a lot of event advertising, and all events went away. Submerge, another local magazine, kind of tabloid newspaper / magazine about the arts, immediately went away. And, you know, we were a week away from closing our April, May issue, and the cover story was food festivals where everybody, like, you know, everybody gets together and gathers in large groups at a time when our country was telling us to not gather in large groups. So within a week or two, we quickly put together a new cover story on spring bike rides. And we had an illustrator whip up an illustration. He put two bicyclists. Alyssa said, no, just one, because everybody was isolating at the time. So we scrambled.
One and wearing a mask, please.
We scrambled and came up with a replacement. We ended up running the food festival's cover later once things were better. But it was hard for everybody, but we did pull through it. Yeah.
No, you sure did. And it was tough times for a lot of folks. Listen, when we come back, I'm going to save the last one for when we come back. I want to talk about the end of SAC Magazine and their call to you about that and how that worked out. And, you know, just how amazing that whole transformation was over time and how you have stood the test of time and the plans for the future. We got much more to talk about. Rob Turner of Sactown Magazine is our guest right now on Bite Sized Finance.
For over 40 years, Drobny Law Offices has been assisting clients properly plan their estates and administer the estate of a loved one. With 6 attorneys and 5 paralegals practicing exclusively in estate planning and estate administration, Drobny Law Offices can assist in planning and administering estates from the modest to the largest and most complicated. The main offices are in Sacramento with satellite offices in Stockton, Modesto, San Ramon, Palo Alto, San Diego, and Reno. Unlike attorneys who charge by the tenth of the hour, estate plans are done for a flat fee, including not just the document production, but funding the trust, annual review letters, and routine amendments for life. The attorney-client relationship doesn't end with the execution of your documents. It's just the beginning. Estate planning is an ongoing process. Call 916-419-2100 for a free initial consultation. Drobny Law Offices, your attorneys for life. DrobnyLaw.com.
Hey, this is John Lockwood. I'm a certified financial planner with CapTrust. And 19 years ago, I made a decision to dedicate my career to helping people make smarter financial decisions. You see, growing up, my parents worked hard, made good money, but they did not understand the complexities of financial analysis, taxes, and estate planning that ultimately led to my parents' worst nightmare, becoming a financial burden on their children. And my calling is to help people flourish financially in any economic environment to have the fortitude to endure the challenges that life throws at us. I invite you to call my team to discuss our fee-based financial advisory practice to help you live a confident and abundant life. Call us at 916-924-7527 or online at CapTrust.com.
Kelly Brothers, host of this radio show, but also an advisor at CapTrust. If you're looking for independent fiduciary advice, give us a call. We have offices in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. CapTrust.com is where you'll find us. Kelly Brothers back. Bite Size Finance is the name of the podcast, or you can hear it every Sunday at 3 o'clock on KFBK News Radio 93.1. Rob Turner's our guest. Rob is one of those... He's just a bright light of I was going to say Sacramento boosterism, but it's more than that. It's not just boosterism. It's Sacramento improvement, Sacramento appreciation. And he does that through his magazine, Sactown. If you haven't read it, I urge you, grab one, pick it up, get a subscription. You will be surprised at the quality of the writing, the quality of the ideas. This is not just, you know, 50 great doctors or the 10 restaurants I love or, you know, weekend trips on a gallon of gas. This is not just that. This goes well beyond that to what makes a city great and what Sacramento can do to be even greater in the future. Rob, great to have you on once again. So, you know, for a long time, your quote unquote competition was Sacramento Magazine. They went through a transition a few years ago. And then you got a call, was it last August, Rob, about the future of that magazine?
No, I think it was earlier in the year that the local owners of Sacramento Magazine sold the magazine. I believe it was I want to say it was 2015. I'm not 100% sure. I think it was 2015. Sold it to a group in Michigan who owns a lot of city magazines around the country. So they bought the magazine in 2015. And the local ownership had run the magazine for a very long time. Certainly, the magazine had grown to a very, you know, before we had launched to, you know, one of the larger magazines in the country. So a lot of people told us we were crazy, we shouldn't do it, it was suicide. But I think we were young and stubborn, and we didn't even really see us as competing against anybody else. We just had passions that we wanted to fulfill in terms of covering the city and presenting it in a way that we thought would get people excited about the city. So I think it was early last year that we started having discussions with the current Detroit owners of Sacramento Magazine. And they had basically made a decision to close the magazine. And through our discussions, we had decided, I think basically in a nutshell, they wanted to know if we were interested in purchasing the remaining assets of the magazine, things like intellectual property and other things. But obviously, we were interested in running two magazines. We had our hands full running one. So they made the decision to close the magazine. And, you know, there was a little bit of confusion, I think, at the time. And so I'd love to just clear that up a little bit. We actually never owned the magazine. We never owned Sacramento Magazine. We didn't buy Sacramento Magazine. They had closed the magazine. And then we bought the remaining assets of the magazine. So I think some people thought that we bought it and closed it. That did not happen. The Detroit owners made an independent decision to do that. I think there were some misconceptions after the news broke this past summer that we had acquired Sacramento Magazine. We actually didn't buy the magazine. We actually purchased their remaining assets after the Michigan owners decided to close the magazine. Their last issue was their August issue. And yeah, with that, we became the only consumer city magazine for the entire region.
And how has business changed or advertisers? How has that changed since Sac Magazine shut it down?
You know, I wouldn't say the business has changed dramatically. I think that obviously, some of their advertisers started advertising with us. We're also fulfilling the subscriptions for all of their subscribers. So we've got a lot of new people seeing Sactown for the first time, which is great for us. So we also picked up some more newsstand positions. So we've got a greater presence, more visibility around the city. So in ways like that, I mean, overall, just positive ways.
So when you look at Sactown now and being kind of the only dog in town of a growing region, you're viable. I mean, you're over the hump. You're doing it. you're actually an ongoing concern in business in an era in which every other publication is going away, basically, or a lot of them are anyway. You know, what is the plan for the future? Do you just want to be even better than you are today at what you're doing? Or is there a different geography or a different trajectory you want to take, let's say 10 years out?
Boy, 10 years out, that's tough to look at. You know, I will tell you that one of the bright spots of publishing just in America in general has really been the city magazine industry. You know, there have been almost no city magazines that have closed. You know, in America, Sacramento Magazine was a rare example recently. But, you know, I think that was a strategic business decision on their part. Most cities only have one city magazine in the country. I mean, even New York really only has New York Magazine. And really, city magazines across the country, I think, are thriving because they bring such a unique niche. You know, we're hyper-local. Whereas, you know, a lot of the magazines we worked for before, people, you know, I think that's a big reason why a lot of newspapers are suffering, is because a lot of the news has become a commodity, which you can get on the internet very quickly. There's nothing in Sactown that you can get, you know, anywhere else. All of our stories are created from scratch. They're all exclusive. They're all geared for our audience. And it's not like you can, you know, if you read it in Sactown, that you've already read it somewhere else. It's all fresh and it's all new. And right. I think that's what's really helped us. And, you know, fortunately, we have a small staff, but we have an amazing team of people on both the business and creative side. And they're all equally passionate about the mission, which, you know, really, it sounds a little corny to say, but we really are kind of a mission-based magazine to reflect the best of the city. And that's what we've done. And so we've been so fortunate to have a team of staffers and freelancers who really share that mission with us.
Give me a sense, though, of where it stands today. You know, how many readers do you have? And of those readers, how many are viewing your magazine in print form and how many are viewing it digitally?
You know, it's hard to keep track of exact numbers because we can't track. There are certain things we can track. We probably have about a total combined readership of about 150,000 people per issue, ballpark. Now that's across, you know, we have the print magazine, we have social media that we do both original stories as well as stories from the magazine, our website, we have newsletters. So I think in the future, as we grow, the goal is to create more ways to get our stories out to the highest number of people. And, you know, I think one thing we're looking at, we've never really done events before. That's something that a lot of city magazines do, and that's a way to better connect with the readers and the community. That's something that we're looking at. But like you said, we're also just trying to get better every issue. We're trying to up our game. We're trying to find new ways to get information into hands of people and to, you know, stimulate dialogue in the city. And so I think that's really, really our ultimate goal.
I think you're doing it, and I'm happy to see you doing it. I'm happy. I just, every time I read it, it feels fresh. You know what I mean? It feels like a great restaurant where where you get seasonal dishes that are different and not just the same old thing every time you walk in. And it just, I'm really happy for you and for Sacramento that you're doing as well as you are, because, you know, to me as a kid, the greatest magazine ever was Sports Illustrated. I read it cover to cover every week, and I read it for the stories as much as for the sports. It was just great storytelling. And to see us, you know, a magazine like that just literally let go of everyone and kind of shrivel up and go away is just incredibly sad. But so that makes what you're doing even that more, much more impressive, Rob. So congratulations. I hope you and Alyssa get another 20 years at least.
Well, thanks. I really appreciate it, Kelly.
Rob Turner, he is the publisher, founder, along with his lovely wife, Alyssa Lee, of Sactown Magazine. I urge you to check it out. Go online, buy it in a newsstand. It is truly good reading. It's reading you won't get anywhere else. It's actual ideas and opinion presented in a way that's not incendiary like you'll find when, you know, there's political opinion thrown about. It's much more about, hey, why haven't we ever thought of this? What if we reimagined this? And it's for folks who've been around for a long time, like me, it's always eye-opening. That's for sure. Bite Size Finance is the name of the podcast. You can find us every Sunday, 3 o'clock on KFBK or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Our gratitude to Rob Turner for joining us today. Coming up in the next episode of Bite Size Finance, Faye Nabani. She is the CEO of Safe Credit Union. We're going to talk about everything from urban planning to how to teach kids financial literacy on the next edition of Bite Size Finance. Thanks for listening to Buy Sci-Fi Bite Size Finance. If you liked what we served up today, please give us your rating, subscribe, and by all means, share. Music for the show produced locally by Kitty O'Neill and her band Skylar's Pool.
Under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940, this podcast is defined as an advertisement and includes an uncompensated testimonial by a Cap Trust client. Please be advised that clients' experiences as described in this podcast do not necessarily represent the experience of other clients. The discussions and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speaker and are subject to change without notice. This podcast is intended to be informational only. Nothing in this podcast constitutes a solicitation, investment advice, or recommendation to invest in any securities. Cap Trust Financial Advisors is an investment advisor registered under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. Cap Trust does not render legal advice. Thanks again for listening to Bite Sized Finance.
Kelly Brothers here for Cap Trust. We are fiduciaries. That's an interesting word. What does that mean? That means that legally we are obligated to put your best interests over our own. Non-fiduciaries don't have that same legal situation. They can sell you something as long as it's suitable, but they don't have to put you in the best thing for you over their best interest. In other words, they can't just sell you a nice annuity with a big fat commission for themselves, even if it's not the best thing for you. We are fiduciaries. We are proud to be fiduciaries. And let me say something, too, about price. I am always shocked by the fact that there are people who I know will scour the internet for the cheapest flight or the cheapest ticket to a ball game, but they have no idea what they are paying for their advisor. We tell you up front in black and white, here's what you're paying for what you're getting. Cap Trust, here in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom.